Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. Frank Weltner, and I would like to welcome you to the world today. The day today is the 2nd of January 2011. And to begin our program today, why don't we talk about what's going on at the airports, which we've talked about all year long, but there seems to be more that's happening now, and it just keeps getting darker and darker. Despite the fact that TSA agents have routinely been caught abusing their power for criminal ends, the agency is now instructing its airport security screeners to make copies of people's credit cards. While TSA is also busy fighting terrorism and protecting America by confiscating chocolate Christmas advent calendars. Can you imagine that? A libertarian activist from Arizona, who makes videos documenting confrontations with authority figures, had a recent encounter with TSA agents from the domestic surveillance squad, who ransacked through his personal documents and took photocopies of his credit cards. TSA workers at the airports habitually abuse their positions to conduct illegal searches and seizures that represent clear violations of the Fourth Amendment. There are numerous cases where TSA thugs have demanded to read people's private emails and obtain their personal computer passwords while asking invasive questions about personal income, religious and political beliefs, and arresting people for refusing to answer. Isn't that absolutely amazing that America has become a Soviet Union, an American version of the Soviet Union? Run by the same Judeo-Bolsheviks who are stationed right now in New York at the various banks and financial institutions of Wall Street, same as they were when they sent their agents to Petrograd to run the Soviet Union, to storm the parliament of the democracy in Russia in 1917, and to begin using Russia as a killing field for Christians for 20 full years of death dealing. The notion of TSA agents making photocopies of credit cards for passengers is even more concerning given the fact that TSA employees are prone to criminal behavior and have been caught stealing people's laptops, iPods, cell phones, credit cards, and other electronic products. In another example of how Homeland Security is engaged in a total takeover of society, at every conceivable level, Alex Jones relates the story of how his mother was on vacation with a friend who bought an expensive German Kinder advent calendar and attempted to ship it back to the U.S. However, instead of receiving the gift, the recipient got a letter from Homeland Security stating that the calendar had been intercepted in the mail and confiscated because it may have contained small toys that would have been a choking threat to children. Even though this particular calendar contained only chocolates, the mere possibility that the company may have produced a similar calendar that contained small toys was enough for the Department of Homeland Security to block its entry into the United States. And I'd like to thank Paul Watson for much of the information in this story. He's one of my favorite commentators on the internet. I try to read him every time I can find anything that he has authored, because he's right on. He understands. He knows what's happening here in America. He knows the viciousness of the American government and its agencies toward the people of this country, and how they are beginning to choke all freedom from our people, to train us to be mere dogs for a master. A master in Washington where the freak show becomes more and more vicious, where the people who run the Judeo-Bolshevik banks in New York have more and more say over what happens in our military, in our agriculture, in our news media, in our wars, in our diplomacy around the world, in the absolute obnoxiousness with which most people on this planet now view the United States of America, viewing the country as a pawn of Israel, a pawn of the Jewish establishment and the Jewish banking centers in New York, and how the senators, the congressmen, and the president bow before these Judeo-Bolsheviks, the very people whose relatives ran the Soviet Union, as a killing field for innocent people whom the government was supposed to represent and whom the Christian Tsar of Russia represented and protected. But under the Jewish Tsars, such as Sverdlov and Lenin and Stalin, under the Jewish Tsars of Russia, of the USSR, the poor Christians of Russia, including the priests, the nuns, everyone associated with religion, were taken out and murdered, as well as the physicians who were taken out and murdered because they made too much money, and that was considered dangerous to the Jewish Tsars of Russia, because the Jewish Tsars of Russia were a vicious, heinous people who believed that murder was the way to keep Russia together under their rule. And they might have been right, because they were only 0.5% of the total population of Russia, and so this minority had its way with the majority, killing 65 million of them, and at the same time through their newspapers in New York and all over America, refusing to print what they were doing so that it would be hidden from the Americans, from the British, from everyone in the world, so they could continue with their thuggery and with their mafia-like behavior as they totally destroyed the civilization that the Russians had built up over hundreds and hundreds of years. And, of course, while they were doing it, they defamed the Tsar and his relatives in the past, although they had themselves put the country together without any help from the Jews who had been isolated from the country. But now that the Jews took over with a few guns and the Parliament building in 1917, through their treacherous overthrow of the government that was trying to create a democracy in Russia, they began this task of creating communism from the books of Karl Marx, who had been paid by the Rothschild banking conglomerates of England to write Das Kapital, so that that book and communism itself could be marshaled forward over 50, 60, 70 years until it was able to hoodwink the Russians in the democracy of Russia, the fumbling early democracy. And the democracy was taken apart. The military was murdered. The police were murdered. The rich were murdered. Everyone who was not Jewish was murdered. In fact, when a Jewish woman by the name of Fanny Kaplan assassinated Lenin, well, she shot him 3 times, but he survived. You would think that he would go after the Jews for them trying to assassinate him, but no. He said, "Now that this Jew, Franny Kaplan, has tried to assassinate me, we must have our revenge by going after the right-wing Christian militia of Russia." That's right. A Jewish woman assassinated him, and he came back and said, "Because I've been assassinated by this Jewish woman, we must therefore go after the Christian right-wing mafia and militants. All of the military of the Christians must be destroyed, and we must kill them." And yet he was assassinated by a Jewish lady. Well, of course, he knew what you don't know, and that is that the Jews ran the Soviet Union. They were the revolutionaries. Trotsky himself lived in New York for 3 years and starred in Jewish movies. He went to Russia with $20 million from Jacob Schiff, the Jewish owner of the Guaranty National Bank, to start the Soviet Union and to kill Christians one after the other, and to turn Russia into a killing field, so that all of the cathedrals and basilicas would be shut down and an atheist Jewish-type government would be implemented that would totally destroy everything that had been Russian before. Why? Because the Jews weren't able to participate in Russia. They were kept out as a danger to the Russian monarchy, which, of course, they were. The first thing they did was to kill the Tsar, his wife, and his children, all of them innocent, lined up and shot by Jews at Ekaterinburg. And then, on top of it, they lied about it. They didn't even claim they'd killed him for a long time. And they buried him deep in the woods in a place where no one would ever find them. But eventually they did. After about 70 years, they found them. And the Russians, God bless them, gave the Tsar and his children and his wife a state funeral. Well, this is what we can expect from the Jews in America. You know, they say that if you don't learn from history, it will happen to you again. So what's happening now? The Jews who run Wall Street and the banks and the newspapers and the media and the movies and everything that you see and hear are determining what our government does. For instance, when all of us called in to our congressmen and told them that we didn't want our congressmen to vote trillions of dollars for the Jewish banks in America, what happened? They turned around and voted for it anyway. Why? Because they get their money from these Jews for their campaigns. They don't support Christian America. They support Jewish banking, communist, Bolshevik America. And they don't care if the Jews tell them that we need to get rid of freedom of speech. Well, then they pass a hate crimes act, which protects Jews but doesn't protect Christians, doesn't protect Europeans, but does protect blacks, homosexuals, Jews, and other minorities. But you and I aren't protected, are we? They can do anything and say anything about us that they want to. And this is a part of their viciousness and their evil, in that they do not like us. We are the majority. And let me tell you something. A bunch of racists like the Jews who go against the majority in a country are far worse than Adolf Hitler, even. Because Adolf Hitler went against a small minority of people in his country. There were 500,000 Jewish people living in Germany when Hitler took over. The Jews immediately declared war in Brussels on Germany and asked everybody to boycott that country, which is an act of war under all international treaties. Any blockade is an act of war. So they declared war on Hitler, and there were only 500,000 of them in Germany, which had only about 900. Which had only 90 million people living there. So they were less than 1/50th of the country. In fact, they were 1/200th of the country. They were a very small number of people. And yet, because they ran the media in the United States and they ran the movies in the United States, they were able to make fantastically asinine films about Adolf Hitler and the National Socialist Movement, which was basically nationalist communism, which they didn't like. They liked globalist communism. Let me ask you a question. How often have you heard the word globalist in the news in the past 10 years? You hear it all the time. Globalist this and globalist that. This is done by globalism. Well, these are the Judeo-Bolsheviks who invented globalism. Globalism was the idea of, first of all, getting rid of the Christian monarchies who protected Christianity within these countries and wouldn't allow people to do anything that would go against the church itself, which they were there to protect, because they were ruled under the auspices of Jesus Christ, according to their monarchical documents. The Jews didn't like that. They weren't Christian. They hated Christianity. They had killed Christ in the beginning of Christianity. They voted to have him crucified when a Jewish radical by the name of Barnabas was to be crucified instead. And the Jews said, let this fall upon our heads that we crucified Jesus and not Barnabas. Because the Jews, even in the early days of Christianity, on the day that Christ was killed, they voted for their anarchist. and Barnabas, who was basically a Jewish jihadist who was anti-Roman and who was in rebellion against the Roman Empire. So they decided they would vote against Jesus Christ, who had done absolutely nothing. They've worked like this during their entire history. The Jews betrayed Jerusalem itself to the king Nebuchadnezzar. And if you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll see where the king of Jerusalem said, "Why are you Jews out with Nebuchadnezzar? You are traitors to our country." And the Jews with Nebuchadnezzar showed Nebuchadnezzar how to get into the city by going in through the underwater springs into the caves under the city. And so Nebuchadnezzar took the city, blinded the king, blinded his sons, tore down the temple, and took all of the temple ornaments to Baghdad, along with the Jews who betrayed Jerusalem. And the Jews then betrayed Baghdad to Medo-Persia. And then hundreds of years later, after the Jews intermarried with all these people and knew nothing about what their religion had been like, because it was 400 or 500 years later, they were given the money to go back to Jerusalem and restart a temple, which they did, but they didn't know what to put into the temple or what to even do with it, because they hadn't worshipped the Jewish religion for that many hundreds of years. And so you see in the book where they come back that they were arguing over what to do, and they started marrying the people around the area. And in their racism, their prophets told them to send their wives and their children away, who had been born of these natives around Jerusalem who weren't Jewish, because that was against their racist God's directives. So anyway, these racists who are in New York now, these Judeo-Bolsheviks, who believe that the Jewish race is paramount and that everybody else is nothing but, well, goyim, which means cattle. These Jews in New York, whose relatives murdered 65 million Christians in Russia from 1917 to 1940, who were instrumental in the beginning of World War II to protect their Jewish Soviet Union from collapsing. These are the people who have taken over your country, ladies and gentlemen. These are the people that run Washington, D.C., and New York, and every state in the Union. They've been able to do it through the money supply, which they control. No one else controls it, only they. They are the ones, under the Rothschilds, who started the Federal Reserve. And only recently we have learned that the trillions of dollars that you and I are supposed to pay back were used to pay off debts of the Rothschild banking empire, not in America, but in England and the rest of the world. $3 trillion went from our treasury, from the Federal Reserve, to Jewish banks all over Europe. Why? Because the Jews in New York wanted it. Yes, the Jews in New York wanted it. Bernanke wanted it. And Bernanke said, "I'm not going to tell you where the money went." Well, why didn't he want you to know? Because he's Jewish. And it went to Jewish Rothschild banks. And that's why he didn't want you to. He thought that you might get all uppity about it, that you might get angry about it, that you might have wanted the money to be used to pay off people's mortgages, to help the people in America to establish a more workable a corporate structure, to fix the infrastructure, to pay off debts, etc., for regular people and not just for rich Jewish people in New York. Now, I know that when I use the word Jewish, people are going to tell me that I'm out of control, that I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know exactly what I'm talking about. I've been in the forefront of exposing what these Jewish thugs, these mafia people, have done for the past 10 years. In fact, the Jewish thug mafia came after me from their positions in the federal government, high up in the Homeland Security and in the Department of Justice, where Mukasey and Michael Chertoff came after me personally, because they are Israelis who happened to be with American citizenship as well. And they didn't like what I was saying in my news reporting about Israel. And I wasn't saying anything about Israel. I was simply republishing what had been reported by newspapers in Israel, and by the New York Times and the Washington Post, and by NBC, ABC, CBS, and other organizations that have so many Jewish entrapments that they might as well all be owned by the Rothschilds. Americans, you're in trouble. You're in danger. You're being controlled by the same people that controlled and started the Soviet Union. And now they are starting and controlling the American USSR, which I am covering at AmericanUSSR.com for you to learn from. And I'm going to hope that you will take these radio programs, these podcasts of mine, and link them all over the country so that people can hear them. They're free. They are not they are copyrighted, but you can use them however you want. But you cannot pay. You cannot be paid for using them. That's the only thing. I have the right to be paid for them. But I'm allowing you to publish them anywhere that you want for free, as long as you do it for free and I retain my copyright. That's all I ask, is that you do it for free. Don't try to make money off it. Just do it for free. Get it out there. We have to let the people of this country know the danger that they are in. And link to AmericanUSSR.com. And if you so wish, link to JewWatch.com, which is the number one news authority for Jewish history and for current Jewish events all over the world, and has been number one on Jewish history and current events on the internet for the past 10 years or so. So link at least to AmericanUSSR.com, and if you so wish, link now and then to JewWatch.com, in the hope that more and more Americans will understand that these are the people who are threatening our country, that these are subversives. They're subversives who are trying to do the work of Israel, who receives billions and billions and billions of dollars in American aid every year. For what? What do they do that's good for the world? Nothing. In fact, they have become the intelligence apparatus for Europe, the United States, and Russia. Every phone call you make is kept in the computers that are in Israel by companies that make their living off of keeping track of every telephone call that's made on every cell phone so that you can be billed by these cell phone companies. Now, needless to say, the information contained in those records shows everyone that you've been talking to. And so certain Judaic agencies, such as the Central Intelligence Agency, or MI6, who work directly with the Mossad and do the work of Israel, these people are extremely interested in what Israel has in those records. And so, of course, the Mossad, the CIA, MI6, and these other intelligence organizations, including Interpol, work together with plenty of handshakes to find out exactly who you have been calling on your telephones. Homeland Security works with them. In fact, the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center, that are Jewish operatives, Mossad operatives work directly with America's Mossad, which is the CIA, and the English Mossad, which is MI6. In fact, they've been able to get legislation passed that allows them to go to police stations and to the FBI and to propagandize these agencies about the ADL's racist view of hate and hate crimes in the world. Now, how could you expect an operative like the ADL, that is made up solely of Jewish people, to be honest about hate in this world? Do you think they're telling the FBI, the CIA, your local police department, that Jews started and ran the Soviet Union as a killing field where they killed Christians and they wiped out as much of Christianity as they could for 23 years. Do you think they're telling the law enforcement people about the evils that they committed in the Soviet Union? I can assure you, and you can quote Frank Welter on this, that the ADL is not telling these people about the hate in the heart of the Jewish people for the Europeans of this world, or for Christians, or for Muslims, or for Hindus. You know, it's not too strange to us that the people who are shouting hatred for the Islamics are the Jewish people of the Middle East and of America and of England and France. They're the ones who have come up with these slurs against an entire religion of billions of people. They call them Islamic radicals and Islamic jihadists. They call them terrorists. They slander them with everything that they can hurl at them. But if you do the same thing about the Jews and say the Jewish jihadists, the Jewish terrorists, well, in that case, let me tell you something, folks. I think you would be right, because I follow this in Jewwatch News at Jewwatch.com. I follow what the Jews do all the time. Do you remember the Lebanese War, how they killed 3,000 people there? Because the Hezbollah, which was a political organization on the border, supposedly kidnapped two Israelis. Well, it turned out that was a big lie. That was their Gulf of Tonkin for the war in Lebanon. And I so reported it that these people were not dead. They were not kidnapped. They were dead. They were not kidnapped. They were dead. They were killed in a clash. And we don't know if the Israelis were on the Hezbollah side of Lebanon or the Hezbollah was on the Israeli side. But we know that these two Jewish soldiers became the scapegoats of this war, that the Israelis lied and said that they had been kidnapped and they wanted them back, and so they started this vicious war which killed thousands of people, over two people being supposedly kidnapped. How can you justify the murder of 3,000 people and the demolishing of their cities, including Beirut, one of the great cities of the world in that area, in a country where Jews and Muslims and Christians have lived together in peace? How can you justify Israel going in there and killing 3,000 of them? It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. And we read every day about the Jews in Israel killing and killing and killing in Gaza and in the West Bank, where the Palestinians live. But what we don't hear is that a lot of these Palestinians were, and even in the past even more so, were Christians, many of them. No, we only hear that they're Muslims, because it's okay to hate Muslims, because our Jewish newspapers tell us it's okay. It's part of their propaganda and their mind control over us. And not only that, they're not just Muslims, but now they're terrorists. When in fact the real terror that goes on over there is the terror of Israel against Gaza, against the West Bank, and against other countries that they decide to go against, such as Iraq. Israel has nuclear power plants at Dimona, but they took it upon themselves to destroy the one plant that was in Iraq. And to say that this was a problem for the whole world, as though Jews weren't going to bomb the whole world with their radical A-bombs that they have. They have 200 to 400 of them, according to most experts, that they've built. There's no problem in the world with the Jews owning these nuclear weapons when these were the very people that ran the Soviet Union, which was considered a tremendous threat to America and to England and to France and to Germany and to all of our brothers and sisters in the Soviet Union, whom they were torturing, whom they were incarcerating, whose fingernails were being pulled out of the socket in order to try to get them to confess before they killed them. It's okay for the Jews in Israel who did that in the Soviet Union, who were the controllers of the Soviet Union, to have 200 to 400 nuclear weapons. But for Iraq to have one nuclear weapon, or Iran to have one nuclear weapon, or Syria to have one nuclear weapon, would be a threat to the entire Western world. And what has Iran, or Iraq, or Afghanistan, or Syria ever done to the Western world? They've done nothing to the Western world. The Western world has colonized them and devastated their civilizations and populations. But the people who have been a threat to the Western world are the Jews themselves, who ran the Soviet Union as a killing field and now run New York as a killing field for the American democracy. They have killed the American democracy. They have seen to it that the Patriot Act was passed, which destroyed many of our constitutional rights. Their ADL goes before Congress and asks for the passage of hate crimes laws, when the real hate crime is the ADL itself, which is a Judeo-Bolshevik operative that is here to destroy the same freedom in the United States that their relatives destroyed in the Soviet Union. We are very close to having our democracy totally destroyed here, ladies and gentlemen. And either you are going to do something, you're going to stand up and get yourself a backbone and stop this, or you're going to find, perhaps in the very near future, that military people will be coming to your town and pulling your relatives out of their apartments and their homes in front of you, taking them out of their cities, and you'll never see from them again. You'll never see them again, just like the Jews did in Petrograd and in Moscow, in Kiev and in all the major cities of Russia, and in the small towns where they pulled these people out, took them outside the town where no one could see it, put a pistol to the back of their neck, and killed them. Buried them so that no one ever found them again, similar to the burial of the Tsar and his family, his innocent little daughters and son. And these wicked people, these Jews, did this to them. And anyone that calls them wicked and points out what they did is considered an anti-Semite, when in fact none of these Jewish people in America or elsewhere are even related to Abraham or to anyone that's Jewish. These are people that were converted to Judaism after they invaded parts of Europe from Mongolia, along with Genghis Khan. And they settled north of Turkey, which is also a Genghis Khan type of settlement. And they decided to convert to Judaism in order not to have to fight either for the Muslims or for the Christians, who were on both sides of them. So these people who have no Jewish blood whatsoever are now sitting in Jerusalem, claiming that they are the relatives of Abraham. It's a lie. Nothing could be further from the truth. And when you look at what they did to the Soviet Union in their radical atheism, and in their jihad against Christianity, and their killing of all of these millions, these 65 million Christians in Russia, and these people have the audacity to tell you that they are the sons of Abraham, and they come from Mongolia, and they don't have a drop of Abrahamic blood in them, and yet they are persecuting the sons and daughters of Abraham, who happen to be the Christians and the Arabs living in the area, the Muslims, who themselves come from the seed of Abraham through his concubine and through his son Ishmael, who was his very first natural son that came out of his own body. And they are killing these Semites and calling anyone who hates them an anti-Semite? I don't even hate them. All I do is report on them, and I'm supposed to be a hater. It's supposed to be hate to tell the truth about what they did, about how they started the Soviet Union. These people are supposed to be able to create the most heinous of crimes in this world and to get by with it. And if you point out that they did it, then instead of them being wrong for having done it, you were wrong for having pointed it out. You're the messenger. The messenger must be killed. Well, these Jewish people are now the messenger for the whole world. They own almost every news outlet in this world. The Associated Press, Reuters, everything. And if they don't own it, they control it like PBS. There were some conservatives that controlled PBS, and they were immediately ousted so that a Jewish woman could take over, and she was a millionaire. And they're still running it. They want everything. They don't want to share power with anybody. They want supreme power. They want fascism. They want communism. They want what they had in the Soviet Union. They want what they have in the banks, which is total monopoly over the printing of money and the counterfeiting of money. So they take money that isn't even on paper, that only exists electronically, and they counterfeit it and increase it inside their bank silently, and then they loan it to you as though it really exists, when in fact it's nothing but a pretend currency. But you're supposed to pay with your work. You're supposed to pay their interest, not in pretend money that you can make up and print yourself. No, but only in the money that they print, and you have to work for them to get it. And it's fake, phony money, no matter which way you look at it. And these people are basically the new American communist mafia. These same Jewish people who created the hate-filled Soviet Union, which was run on hate, on Jewish hate, for 25 and years and longer. They created the gulags, these great concentration camps. Now you see the Jews talking about the concentration camps of Germany and how terrible it was to live there. And yet most of the Jews survived the concentration camps. Most of them survived it. But they don't want to tell you that. They don't want to tell you that. They want to embellish the suffering that these poor Jewish people underwent, when in fact, the reason the concentration camps occurred in Germany was that the Jews were putting Russians into concentration camps, the gulags, run by Jewish thugs, and they were taking innocent people and destroying their lives, either murdering them outside of town or putting them into a gulag to work as slaves and to make things for free for the Soviet Union, so that the banking system over there would get free fake money from the labor of others, those that were incarcerated for their entire lives over made up lies about them that really didn't account to anything. And they're lying here in the United States, and they lied all along. They wouldn't tell people that they ran the Soviet Union. They said, oh, it's a communist doing it. Well, there were little flares of reality now and then. For instance, we found out that the Rosenbergs, who were Jewish and lived in New York, gave our atomic secrets to the Soviet Union. But we weren't told that they gave it to the Soviet Union because they were Jewish and the Soviet Union was run by Jewish elitists and killers and mafia people. They didn't tell us that the Jewish mafia in Russia destroyed the Soviet Union because in its viciousness and its dishonesty and its hatred and its thuggery, it even went after its own masters in the Soviet Union and brought down their economy to where nothing there would ever work again until it was totally demolished and turned over and the mafia was chased out of town. And of course, where did they go? They went to New York. They went to Brighton Beach. You can go to Brighton Beach right now in New York, and you can find that almost everybody there is speaking Russian. These are the Jewish communists that were ousted from the country because the Russians didn't want another thing to do with them after what they had done to Russia. The Russians were absolutely devastated by these people. They don't want another thing to do with them. So what do? They come to the United States, where they own the newspapers and where everybody's told to worship the Jews, and to think that the Jews are victims. Well, no, the Jews were not victims. The Jews were torturers. The Jews were revolutionaries. The Jews were the communists. They were Judeo-Bolsheviks. They were just what Hitler said they were. They were vicious, evil thugs who took over Russia and began murdering the Christians. And Germany was next. What did you expect Hitler to do? Sit back and allow the Jews to continue to riot in the streets day and night, day and night, day and night, and to kill Jewish ambassadors in Paris and Brussels and elsewhere? Do you know the Kristallnacht? You hear about Kristallnacht. All the poor Jews, they were hurt on Kristallnacht. Let me tell you what happened on Kristallnacht. The Jewish activists, the Jewish communists, broke into the German embassy in Paris and slaughtered the embassy workers there, including the ambassador. 3 or 4 days later, the Germans reacted. They had Kristallnacht. They knocked the glass windows out of the stores of Jews who had been giving money to these subversives who murdered the ambassadors of their own country, Germany, because they were pro-Russia. They were pro-communist and anti-nationalist. They want globalism. They didn't want nationalism because the nationalists could make it hard on the Jews, because they might want Germany to be for Germany and not for Jewish Germany. They wanted the majority to rule Germany, and not the 0.5%, the 500,000 Jews that live there. They wanted the 90 million Germans to make the decisions. In America, we have basically 8 million Jews making all the decisions for 300 million people here in America. Actually, it's 320 million people. The Jews are making decisions for all of us. We now have 3 Jews sitting on the Supreme Court, and there was not one whimper about it, that this would be something that would be dangerous to our national security, which is exactly what it is. These neo-Bolsheviks, these Jews, are sitting on our Supreme Court. And do we have any Protestants on the Supreme Court? Not one. Unless you consider a Jew to be a Protestant. Is that the new Protestant? Are Jews Protestants now? Because they're not Catholic. The other 6 people on the Supreme Court are Catholic. Now, they were placed there on the lie that they would reverse abortion because they were Catholic. Well, have you seen them reverse abortion? No, you haven't, because they're simply being used by the Republicans to get Catholics to vote Republican. And if they vote against abortion, guess what? The Catholics will be free to vote for the Democrats again, and the Republican Party will never again win. And then you have the 3 Jews on the Supreme Court representing Bolshevism here in America, representing the banking structure, which itself is Bolshevism. That's something that you just never have understood, have you? That the banking system itself is Bolshevism. That the Bolshevik, Jacob Schiff, head of the Guarantee National Bank, sent $20 million in his Bolshevik personal funds from that bank with the Bolshevik Trotsky to go to Bolshevik party headquarters in Petrograd and start the Soviet Union as a killing field for Christians. See, you don't know that because the newspapers, the New York Times, the Washington Post, all of the news studios, the movies, etc., are owned by Jews and run for Jews and run for the Mossad. But you're not supposed to know it. You're not supposed to know that the CIA is practically an agency of the Mossad, and so is MI6, and that Rothschild runs the banks in America, in England, in France, and elsewhere. You people are disgusting. But what do you know? I mean, it's really not your fault. You've been propagandized by the best. The Jews are the best at this. They were able to get the Russians to swallow hook, line, and sinker that Russia represented the Russians themselves when it became the Soviet Union and was run by Jews. Now, the Russians eventually realized what was happening, but by then they couldn't do anything about it. What could they do? The Jews were coming in, grabbing them out of town, shooting them in the back of the head. As soon as they lifted their head, they got their head blown off, because the Jews were just 0.5% of Russia. And to stay in power, they had to kill and kill and kill for decades. And that's the same thing they're going to do here. They're going to kill you. They're going to kill your children and your grandchildren. You've been warned. I'm warning you. I've shown you what they've done in the Soviet Union. Go to Jew Watch and check it out. Look for USSR in Jew Watch. You will see all of these references from the Encyclopedia Britannica, from the New York Times, from the major newspapers, from the State Department documents of the early 1920s, and in 1917, when it's reported that the Soviet Union's revolution was from Jews of, and I'm going to quote this is a quote now from the cables, from American ambassadors there in the cities, that they were Jews of the, quote, of the greasiest sort. Your old friend Churchill wrote about them, saying that they were vicious internationalists, people who sought the destruction of Western civilization, and that these were people who were filled with hate. And yet they have this thing that if you criticize a Jew, you're an anti-Semite. But I tell you, if you criticize a non-Jew and you're Jewish, you're an antichrist. You see, two people can play the same game. If you criticize a Christian, you are an antichrist. And that's what Christ said. Those are practically his own words. He told the Jews who came to criticize him, the Pharisees, he said, "You claim to be of Abraham, but you are of your real father, the devil, who is a liar and shall always be a liar." Jesus didn't like the Jews. Jews are always trying to say that Jesus was Jewish. And a friend of mine renamed Jesus Jesus. He said, well, he was created by the Jews so that we would worship the Jews through him, so he should be called Jesus. And they created the Muslim religion for the same reason. And all these religions came out of Judaism. When I was a kid, I had to learn all of the kings of Judea. All of them. From David onward and before David, you know, Abraham, and all the way through the great patriarchs. And but I didn't even know the kings of Sweden. I didn't memorize the kings of England or of France. I didn't know who they were, but I knew who the kings of the Jews were. And that shows the sickness of the religious propaganda that's instilled into the Christians of this world, whether white or black or Chinese. They all are supposed to worship the patriarchs of the Jews. Because when Christianity was put together, it was originally a rebellion against the Jewish religion by Jesus and by John the Baptist. But when it was finally put together, it was put together by Paul, known now as Saint Paul, who originally was called Saul. Why? Because he was hired by the Jewish establishment that ran the temple by them to kill the Christians, to investigate who they were, to get them arrested, to put them out of business. And when that wasn't working too well, then he pretended to join the other side and began to convert Gentiles and tried to make the religion into a Gentile and not a Jewish religion, because originally the Christians were coming from the Jewish religion, and the Pharisees didn't like that. It was pulling people away from their own power structure, and these were the people that gave them money during the religious holidays. And the Shabbateans, who they're the ones who ran the temple, they you know, like Caiaphas, they didn't want this either. They wanted the Christians put out of business. So one way to do it was to send Paul, after he tried killing them and incarcerating them and it didn't work, of sending him out to try to get the religion to waste itself on the non-Jewish people of this world, on the Romans and the people of Antioch, the Turks, the Syrians, the Iraqis, the Egyptians, to convert them, and then through their administrative powers being so diluted around the world, to let the Jewish people go so that they would remain Jewish, so that the Pharisees and all of the other groups that got money from the Jews would continue to collect their money in their different temples and put it in their pockets so they could stay alive and not have to get a real job. And so that's what St. Paul did. He went out, and it says in the Bible that everywhere he went, the Jews tried to kill him and tried to get him kicked out of town and cause trouble for him, just like the Jews here today do to anyone that they don't like. They're very political, and they were very political 2,000 years ago, and you can see how they operate. They're a vicious, sadistic group of people who think that they're special and better than anybody else, and that they, because of their control of banking, both in Rome and here in America, that they can use their power and the number of people they put into the judiciary to control these countries and to get ordinances to get Christians driven out of a city in Antioch when St. Paul goes there to speak. They didn't like him. They didn't like what he had to say. They didn't like his anti-Jewisms. which is what he used in order to get people to join Christianity, which was kind of a farce by comparison to what original Christianity was. It was what St. Paul made up, which is why Jesus had in his gospel the theory or the metaphor of the tares of wheat. Tares are weeds, and he said, a good man, myself, came by and planted a church or a field with wheat, and it began to grow beautifully, and then Satan came by, who were the Jews, who planted weeds within the church to get people to fight among each other, and who lied and said they were Christian, but they weren't, and tried to tear my church apart. And he said, what you should do is let the wheat mature and then harvest it, and then remove it from the church, and then burn the entire church down, killing every Jew left in it who tried to poison it. That's the tares of wheat myth. And that was exactly how Jesus described the way it should be interpreted. So in many ways, Jesus was the first person to approve of a Holocaust like that, because he said, burn the Jews to the ground. They're in the church to destroy it. And what have they done now? They've turned Christianity into Zionist Christianity. Zionist Christians, Christians who say that Jesus came to the world, why? To save the human race? No! No! To make sure that the Jews ran Israel. Are you Christians that stupid? How could you fall for this? Rothschild started this at the turn of the century. He took a scholar by the name of Schofield, and he said, I want you to write a Bible with all sorts of footnotes, and in those footnotes I want you to point out that Israel is the focus of everything in Christianity and in the Old Testament, that the reestablishment of Israel is the most important thing in the world. And so he did. He wrote a Bible in which more than half of it, 60% of it, was footnotes talking about Israel, and all of Christianity after 100 years has fallen for this ruse of the Jews, of Rothschild, the evil one, the head banker, the evil one, the Pharisee of Pharisees, who has started the French Revolution, who funded the American Revolution against the Christian King of England. And I know, you know, as Americans, you know, that probably galls you, but that's what he did. He was the one that paid for it. Chaim Soloman was the man who used Rothschild money to pay for the guns for the American Revolution. It was a part of the plan to tear apart Western Christian civilization, to set the people against the Christian kings, and then the people against the churches. And now the Jews own all the media, and I'll be damned if you can find very much about the churches in the media anymore, whereas the media used to talk about the churches all the time before they got control of it. They've done everything they can to debase America and make it into an anti-Christian country. And now that we're at war all the time, it looks like they've just about won. Who are the Jews going after now? Right now they're going after Private Bradley Manning. The psychological Jewish torture of Private Bradley Manning by the federal government, which is run by these people, by these Jewish people, these Judeo-Bolsheviks. Mr. Manning has been imprisoned for 7 months without being convicted of any crime. It mirrors the breaking of the dissident Winston Smith at the end of 1984. Manning, who is the private who was able to get a hold of these cables and make them public, Manning, Private Manning, is being held as a maximum custody detainee at the brig in the Marine Corps base Quantico in Virginia. He spends 23 of every 24 hours alone, and this is what usually happens to people who are placed in prison by the vicious, evil, Judeo-Bolshevik run United States of America. It's just like the Soviet Union. Mr. Manning, who's a human being, spends 23 of every 24 hours alone. He is denied exercise. Private Manning cannot have a pillow or sheets for his bed. Army doctors have been plying Private Manning with antidepressants to alter his mind. The cruder forms of torture of the Gestapo of the Judeo-Bolshevik American Empire have been replaced with refined Orwellian techniques, largely developed by Judeo-Bolshevik government psychologists, to turn Judeo-Bolshevik dissidents like Manning into vegetables. Judeo-Bolsheviks break souls as well as bodies. It is more effective. Now all of Americans in the Judeo-Bolshevik thrall can all be taken to Orwell's dreaded Room 101 to become compliant and harmless. These special Judeo-Bolshevik administrative measures are regularly imposed on Judeo-Bolshevik dissidents in America, including Syed Fahid Hashmi, who was imprisoned under similar conditions for 3 years before going to trial. The Judeo-Bolshevik techniques of Russia have psychologically maimed thousands of detainees in our black sites around the globe. These Judeo-Bolshevik intrusions into Western civilization with the idea of destroying it are the staple form of control in the Judeo-Bolshevik maximum security prisons in America, where the corporate Judeo-Bolshevik state makes war on their most politically astute underclass, African Americans. If Manning's lawyers and supporters were interested in protecting Manning from torture, they would have complained to either of the Judeo-Bolshevik IGs who have the power and the clear duty to investigate the allegations. The IG is entirely independent by law. Commanders and civilian military chiefs cannot overrule his decisions to investigate, and it can have access to classified material at the highest levels. The IG can get access to the prisoner, get psychiatric experts to examine Manning, and interrogate any and all who are in charge of his imprisonment. The fact that the defense team has instead gone to the Judeo-Bolshevik media and the United Nations, which the Judeo-Bolsheviks also control, make it clear that Manning's condition is being maintained properly by the Judeo-Bolsheviks and that his rights have been eternally, eternally violated. I hate to report things like this to you. The world that we live in is becoming totally emacerated and destroyed, and the Judeo-Bolsheviks are up to their usual madness that we've suffered through for hundreds of years. The dismantling of Western civilization, the turning of national countries that were once ruled by identifiable kings into large geopolitical regions like the European Union, where the nationalist instincts of people who were proud of who they were and who their kings used to be are now told that being part of a larger world is more important, because the Judeo-Bolsheviks don't want these people to have their own nationalities. They don't want them to have an identity other than the identity that the Judeo-Bolsheviks wish to provide for them. And what is that identity? It's an anti-Christian identity to begin with, one in which there are no Christian kings and queens to support Christianity and to keep it from harm. It is a world in which the Judeo-Bolsheviks, the antichrists of this world, will rule all of these regional governments, including the final world government, and will eventually keep all Christian churches from opening or from even being taught, so that people will no longer even know of Christianity or of the rebellion that Christ had against the Jews themselves, which they took over through their operatives and created a religion that they now say is pro-Jewish. As a matter of fact, the record shows that Christ was anti-Semitic, that he understood the Jews to be sons of Satan and liars, which he says so in the New Testament. And I have given you those verses, and I'll give them to you again. I've given them to you over and over again. These verses could be looked up by anybody at all, and it's very, very easy. The verse I want to ask you to read is John 8:44 in the King James Version of the Bible. Speaking of the Jews, Jesus says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. Your father was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When the devil speaketh a lie, the devil speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." That's John 8:44, in which Jesus tells the Jews that they are of their father, the liar, who is always a liar, always a deceiver, and who is the devil. Not my words, but the words of Jesus. John 8:44. The man whom the Jews tried to kill in the Soviet Union, and who they're doing everything they can to wipe out here in America, including making Christianity into a Zionist hate-filled religion. Thank you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.